from Social Service .SG, I am Jing Yao, co-hosting today's episode and this mini-series with Isaac. Singaporeans go to the polls on September 1st, 2023 to elect our new president. We choose from three candidates: former Senior Minister and Deputy Prime Minister Tharman Shanmugaratnam, former Chief Investment Officer of Sovereign Wealth Fund GIC, Ng Kok Song, and former CEO of NTUC Income, Tan Kin Lian. An estimated 300,000 to 400,000 Singaporean youth, or about 15% of the electorate, will be voting in the presidential election for the first time. In the lead-up to polling day, in this mini-series, we speak to three first-time voters, all of whom are students, about their thoughts on the presidential candidates, the institution of the presidency, as well as the issues and considerations they are prioritizing. In the show notes, if you are interested, we've provided some resources for additional information and readings about the presidency. We've also linked the other episodes in the PE 2023 mini-series. Today, in the second episode, we have 22-year-old Wei Ting, a final year student in the Nanyang Technological University. This was recorded on August 22nd, 2023.
My name is Wei Ting, and I am 22 years old this year. So I am in my final year studying economics and public policy at Nanyang Technological University in Singapore. Okay. So it'll be my first time voting this year.
I know.
And upcoming presidential election.
And not just in the presidential election, you're voting for the very first time because you're 22, which means you didn't get to vote in G 2020, right? So this is your
first
time voting entirely. So how do you feel about it? So how do you feel about voting for the first time?
I'm actually very excited about voting. And I think as a political science student, I've been studying it through my undergrad, and I'm actually really excited to be able to participate in the entire process of like queuing up, filling up my ballot slip, and then anticipating the results as they count the votes and they announce the results on live television. Mm. And I think given that it's also the first presidential elections since 2011 where we can vote, since the last one in 2017 was a reserved presidency and it was also a walkover, I think because of that, there has been a lot of hype surrounding it through the various campaigns and all of the media that has been going about. So I'm generally very excited about voting for the very first time.
So yeah, Wei Ting, we spoke earlier. I know you follow this election quite closely. Which of these candidates have made the biggest impression on you?
I guess at the beginning of the campaign season, there were four candidates who wanted to run for elections. But we have since known that there were only three who actually met the criteria and were eligible to run. And to me, actually, the most memorable candidate was actually George Goh, even though he was not eligible to run. I think that the reason was because that he has a very interesting background, and it is very rare for a private sector candidate to run for office. And the fact that he was deemed ineligible to run by the elections department actually goes to show how high the barrier to entry for private sector candidates is. And to me, it is such a shame that he was not eligible to run because I felt that he was a very formidable candidate amongst all.
Right. Yeah. I guess for the other candidates, what are your thoughts about them? I guess for the three who are running, those that qualify.
Yeah. I guess for Tharman, needless to say, he is a very heavyweight candidate. Based on his past track record, he was a senior leader from the PAP and he almost became prime minister, if not for his race. So definitely he has a lot of legitimacy and is very competent. And I felt that him being fielded in this election or him being backed by the actually shows how the PAP actually understands that they need to win by more than a close margin. And they really showed their hand this time round by putting forward Ng Kok Song. I felt that the media did not really do him much justice in showcasing him as a candidate and his campaign. I felt that a lot of the traction or the things that were said about him was mostly about the age difference between him and his fiance. Mm. And it definitely overshadowed a lot of the other more important things. I was actually listening to one of his interviews, and he was actually really well-versed in both the business sense and the politics sense. And I felt that it was such a shame that the media just didn't do him justice in promoting his campaign. And for the last candidate, Tan Kin Lian, I feel that his appeal to voters is mostly to the hardliners, PAP, to the anti-establishment voters. And with the recent revelations of his past sus social media post, I think there has been a lot of big question marks on how the committee, the Presidential Elections Committee, actually deemed him eligible, given that there is a character and fit criteria for this presidency.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to touch on something you said on Mr. Ng Kok Siong. You said like the media's not really taking him seriously and all. Because something I've realized also is that for Ng Kok Siong, I see him trying to use the social media, more unconventional media outlets like podcasts with various influencers and so on. I'm just wondering, do you feel that same sentiment? Because I guess you're younger, maybe showing my age here a bit, but like I don't use TikTok that much, mostly use Instagram, that sort of thing. Do you consciously see this, like he's trying to appeal more to the younger generation, the Gen Z and so on?
Definitely. And I think this is not just the case for Ng Kok Siong, but all the other candidates as well. I think all of them realize that it is important to play the social media game, especially in their campaigns. And it's important to reach out to, I guess, the young people who are most likely to use these platforms. Mm. And I guess through their TikToks and their social media posts, them showcasing like what sports they play, showcasing their pets, I guess that makes them a little more relatable and more human, which I guess is the appeal to young people as well.
Okay, I guess just, so I know you studied public policy, so you're probably quite well-versed in the roles, responsibilities of the president, but interested to hear, how would you describe their role, responsibilities, and thinking about the role of the presidency as a first-time voter, what would be most important to you?
Yeah, I believe that there are a few main roles of the president, which has been outlined repeatedly throughout this campaign. And the main ones would be the custodial function that the president serves in terms of being the second key to the reserves and appointment of key office holders in the public service. But besides that, I feel that the role of the president also includes representing Singapore on the world stage through their meetings with other heads of state, through state visits. And to some extent, I guess the president plays an instrumental role to our foreign policy. And also an important role that the president plays would actually be championing social causes and advocating for certain issues. When we think about presidents, we think about their legacy as well. And I guess if we reference the last president, President Halimah, she was known as being the president of the people, which was repeated a lot during the National Day Parade, which just passed. And I think it is important for the new president or any president to be advocating on social causes. And in that sense, the president sets the stage, sets the tone for civil society and the boundaries in which they can operate in. So, for example, on the issue of death penalty, the government's stance on it has been very clear, but there has been precedent of the president granting clemency to inmates on death row. And I believe there has been six past inmates who have been granted clemency in the past. And it will be interesting to understand the candidate's stance on this and how in which they will advocate for certain social causes and the space in which they allow advocacy.
In thinking about it, right, you mentioned the election as being excitement, as being exciting. There's a lot of excitement and hype for you, right? That's for you. I'm interested in what is it like for your family and friends? Do they feel the same way? Do they feel like they are equally excited about voting and being a part of this election? What are you hearing from your family and friends so far?
I guess from my conversations with my friends and family, I realized that they generally fall into two categories. The first group of them is that they are also really excited and invested in the elections, and they are keeping up with the campaigns and the news stories that are coming up. But in the second group, I feel that there are still a lot of people who are rather apolitical, not very informed about the ongoings of the elections. But I feel that there are two main reasons for that. I guess Singapore as a society has been largely depoliticized through our schools, through our education, through the media. But there is also an aspect of personal responsibility to be informed on our own about the happenings of the elections and of politics. And I think that ultimately, as voters who are voting for our leader, for our office holders, it is important that we should be informed through various sources so that we can make an informed vote and to put our vote wisely.
And I guess it might not be a fair question, but that first or second group, right? The first group is the updated, second group is the more apathetic, apolitical. What's the percentage you put for your family and friends who are in those two groups?
I would say that my social circles can be rather biased, because in school, where I'm in a political science major, and everyone is naturally inclined to be updated and involved. But at the same time, outside of school, when I speak to different people, most of them are actually rather apathetic and apolitical towards this. And I guess it's kind of scary to me that they are not informed about the ongoings of the elections, especially when voting is compulsory.
Yeah. And because you're voting for the first time, completely new for the first time, what are the conversations you all have in the family, right? Or with like family members? Do you all talk about who you're voting for? What's happening? Do you share anything you share with us in terms of, oh, you think Mr. Tan's posts are a little bit sus, as you said, right? Do you say these things to your family and your parents or your family members?
Yeah. Like, even though voting is supposed to be secret, but in my family, we do talk about who we are voting for and who we are planning to vote for. And I think what I realized is that there is generational difference in terms of our views, because we grew up and we are exposed to a different era, a different time where the socio-economic and political situation is different.
Uh-huh.
Hence, I guess our expectations of what a leader is supposed to do and how they are supposed to govern may be different.
Yeah.
So this is something that I realized where through the conversations with my family, which is translated into the votes and who we support and who we are planning to vote for.
Gotcha. No, I'm not going to ask you who you are voting for. What I'm going to ask you is, if you put your economics, public policy, political science hat on, who do you think will win? And then, I mean, it seems pretty obvious from how you're shared, but who do you think will win the presidential election?
Yeah, this is really a crystal ball moment, thinking about who will win the election. But in my view, I believe that there are really two strong candidates, which is Tharman and Ng Kok Siong. Though I do think that there is a high chance that Tharman would win based on his past record in the GE 2020 results, where in Jurong GRC, where he was fielded in, he actually won more votes than Lee Hsien Loong, the Prime Minister in Ang Mo Kio GRC. So that goes to show, that says a lot about Tharman's popularity and credibility as a competent leader. But I do think that the results this time round will actually be a reflection of people's attitudes towards the PAP rather than Tharman's popularity in itself. I think with this election, it is set against the backdrop of a lot of political scandals and corruption probes and the current high cost of living. So I do think that even though Tharman has a very high chance of winning, but the PAP would definitely do consider the vote margins as a reflection.
Yeah, I think what you've said is quite accurate. And I just wanted to touch on that for my final question, because you mentioned this election might be seen by the PAP as like a scorecard on what's been happening recently to gather their sense of support. So that is a bit of like a politicization of the presidency. But I guess the presidency is also supposed to be a unifying role. The president's supposed to represent all of Singapore, that kind of thing. So some observers have said there's this tension between the two roles of the presidency, because in the custodial role, they need to exercise their veto. So they need the mandate of the people. They need to go through an election. But then, as you've mentioned, it tends to get politicized. They see it as PAP versus the rest. I want to vote for a non-PAP candidate. And that conflicts a little bit with the ceremonial role, because they're meant to be a unifier. So I guess that long-winded context goes into my question, which is, do you think this elected presidency, do you think it should stay? Do you think we should revert to an appointed presidency, bearing in mind these tensions? Eager to hear your thoughts.
I think that these tensions are innate and inherent in a democracy where we vote our leaders through elections. And personally, I believe that democracy is a principle that we should stand by, and it is our right as citizens to elect our representatives, because ultimately the leaders in office are accountable and have to be accountable to us voters. Besides that, I also believe that voting in itself legitimizes the role of the president, as you said just now, because one of the custodial roles of the president is to guard the second key and to grant permission to for the government to dip into our reserves. And I think with that, also voting comes legitimacy. And that could be seen in 2017 for the reserve presidency, when there was a constitutional amendment that was made, and it was widely perceived by the people that it was a political maneuver by the P to prevent Tan Cheng Bock from becoming and running for president again. And people were not able to exercise their vote as it was a walkover. And I think that undermined the principle of meritocracy, which is one of the building blocks and principles that Singapore and the government upholds. And with that, I think the presidency should definitely remain an elected one instead of an appointed presidency.